AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we tick towards a big doubleheader for Scotland. Kenny McLean says they're desperate to prove they deserve to mix it with the likes of Croatia and Portugal. A bit of midweek friendly action for you Celtic fans, if you take notice of that sort of thing. A reserve side beating Sligo 3-2 last night, and Motherwell hand the new long-term deal to goalkeeper Aston Oxborough. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
It's looking like a big couple of games for Scotland again, isn't it? 1-14-1, and I know it's against better opposition, and when you're putting in this group, you have to face this opposition, the bigger names, but you have to try and get results somewhere along the line. So Steve Clarke will know that, but he's got a disrupted squad. So I guess much of the discussion this weekend will be who plays, who gets a chance to move the national team forward.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a quiet midweek, Gordon Dalziel, but I did just reference a friendly in the headlines at the start of the show. So it's over to you. What's happening? What's on your agenda?
We're going to do some after dinner there, but we'll stick to the football. Depleted squad, as Mark said about Scotland. I think the big interesting talking points this weekend, well, who will start? And you're looking at Craig Gordon, 41, never went to the Euros. Looks like he'll be the number one goalkeeper over the next coming games. But there's a few youngsters come in, like, say, Ben Doak, Mackenzie up at Aberdeen has come into the squad as well. So it'll be interesting to see how Steve Clarke lines up with about, 12 guys that would probably be in the squad missing.
0141-951-1025, that is the number that you need. So come on down, get in touch and let us know what is on your mind tonight. I have to say I was horrified when I was about to set off. I clicked on Twitter, or X as you do, had a wee look through. And on the at Clyde SSB Twitter, obviously a nod to maybe being a bit of a quiet day in Scottish football, there's a tweet that says, as well as getting your points on tonight, it's your chance to ask Mark and Daz anything. Did you get asked about this?
No. But do we have to be honest about the answer?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think it's about
football
in your contract.
Or is that anything about anything?
That's it. It just says ask Mark. Well, it says anything.
Yeah, I'm open to that.
What, like a therapy hotline?
Upfront and honest, that's what they call me. Upfront and honest.
There's the title for the show. Upfront and honest with Daz.
He's giving away the title to the forthcoming autobiography though. Yeah, you're gonna need to think of it.
That's a great shout. Yeah, I'm writing a book soon.
So up you're front. Happy to share.
Anything. Hold on. That's too good. That's somebody else's.
You happy with that?
That's somebody else's. It must be.
Upfront and honest.
I swear I just...
Somebody with a scandal behind number two.
I've just come up with that. If that's somebody else's, have stolen my thunder.
Because I'll be honest, this is really slow for me. On the first reference of it, I didn't even get the upfront bit. The fact that you played.
Yeah.
I'm that's how slow I was.
See, be fair, neither did I.
Neither did he. Are you that?
You're joking.
No.
You should have taken credit for it. How good would that book title be for you upfront? Dishonest then?
No, I'm not going to say dishonest. You can't do that. Too many people will read it and think bad things of me.
Oh, apparently you have stolen it.
Oh, no.
From Colleen Nolan.
Ruth told me.
Weirdly, this is the second mention of Colleen Nolan in 2 weeks. No. Hold on, you're off the hook. Upfront and personal.
That's it. That's different. Upfront and honest.
Upfront and personal.
No, upfront and honest. Because I've not really been honest a lot.
So genuinely, you said that without
thinking about upfront.
Without thinking that you were
upfront.
I can't
take credit. I'm not taking credit for that.
You should have anyway.
Get your questions in for him regardless.
I usually try my hardest to not let the nonsense seep into the first 3 minutes of the show, and usually try and keep it a bit down the line. So I do apologise. If that, for whatever strange, odd reason, tickles your fancy, you can, apparently, according to Twitter, ask Mark and Daz anything. However, football, as always, the number one priority here? If it is Scotland, I know it's Saturday, so we're getting there. What would it be? Match day minus two in UEFA speak. Give us all your thoughts there. We're going to hear from Kenny McLean. So early thoughts in about maybe how Scotland should line up, or how you're feeling generally ahead of that double header against Croatia and Portugal. I don't think mid-season friendlies in October are hugely important, but if it floats your boat, Celtic fans, and you learn some thing that you want to share with us after the game last night, you can do. And anything else that's out there, I said in the headlines, Motherwell fans, new long contract to Aston Oxborough, the goalkeeper. Is that a sign of how impressive he's been? Maybe the lower leagues is on your agenda. Ian McCall, no longer the Clyde manager.
He'll be mourning, won't he? He'll be sitting with casualty glass now in the kitchen, just been a sad day for
him. We've all been there.
High expectations, I think, the way big sort of favourites almost or one of to go and do something in League Two, and it's been difficult this season.
Bit of a disappointment.
Saved him last season, though.
He did a good job and all looked lost at one point. Ian McCall managed in the Premiership here. He knows those divisions, but it just goes to show you how difficult it is when you've got a part-time setup and getting a result. So, sad one for Ian McCall. Wonder who'll take that job. There'll be plenty of suitors looking to go in and get it. But you're right, lower league football, the Championship, it's not a rest for all, Gordon. Partick Thistle v Falkirk.
That's some game, isn't it?
Yeah, so if you've never got a game to watch, get along to Fir Hill, because that will be the game of the weekend, no doubt about it.
I agree with that.
Right, go.
Yeah, no. I think there'll be a bumper crowd there. I think that'll be a really important game. I think it's an important game for Partick Thistle. They need to start winning. You know what I mean? That gap's getting bigger and bigger. Falkirk will go there with 0-0 against Livingston midweek. You would say, was that a good point? Probably, because Livingston are a decent side and they're going to be
unbeaten.
Yeah, they're going to be up there as well. So that's a massive game for Partick for me. I think they've got to try and make it. It's home advantage, Mark, isn't it? Fir Hill, so they've got to try and make that count. But it'll be a difficult one against a good Falkirk side.
Hugh even said he was going to get you to get him a comp.
I did hear that, actually. I was in the car coming back from training, but he didn't contact me, so.
Would you get him a comp?
No.
Why not?
Wait,
when
they go, would
he? Oh, no, he's up for it. He wants to go.
Does he want to go?
He says the bus goes right from his down to...
Well, listen, the staff at Partick Thistle are usually listening. If anyone can sort out Mr. Keevans with a comp.
He can afford a ticket, though.
Ah, but he doesn't get paid for anything, does he?
No.
He must get my comp.
I've just put a shout out there.
No. You get my comp. No,
how did I get my comp? I'd get him a comp to the under 18 game if he wants to come to that on Friday.
Employee.
Who are you playing this week?
Scottish Cup Rangers.
Oh,
that's a bad draw, isn't it? It's a bad draw. Because see, some of the rubbish is in the draw, and we've been hit with Rangers.
The only thing I'll say to you, Gordon, you're off the hook if you're doing the draw, because you don't need to go. And Mark Wilson's Partick Thistle, because you won't mention them.
Listen, my players, listen to this.
Confidence.
They'll be crying into their dinner now after that.
Anyway, 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need, so please come on down. I know it is a bit of a quieter day on the domestic front, as you would expect, but maybe that gives you time for a bit of reflection. We did a bit of that last night about how the season's gone so far, or who's caught your eye. Maybe you could tell us an outstanding player from this season so far, an outstanding manager, someone who's disappointed you even, on the flip side. Or we will at some point, I'm sure, turn our attentions to the Scotland games as well. So any thoughts there, please do get them in. 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. And I did say I am worried, quite frankly, about this tweet that was put out there on our behalf. I don't know who signed this off. Apparently you can ask Mark or Daz anything. Some of them will get you in genuine trouble, though, that I don't know if we can, like...
Trouble follows me about.
I mean,
I'm no stranger to trouble.
Not Matondo. Where does Daz get his magic TV from? Move on. Next one. Let's move on.
Or what's his most watched channels on that magic TV? Because I'd like to see that.
Corey.
Ask Gordon. Ask Daz if he remembers his airside playing Minishant Amateurs.
Minishant, yeah.
And watch his face drop. My mum always blushed when they made fun of his big nose.
Yeah, we used to play there in a pre-season games. Minishant's a lovely wee place.
Minishant.
Yeah,
remember me and
you stopped
for a coffee.
You stopped for a coffee in the way to Tunbury.
Oh, yeah.
And it was an amateur team. We used to go down there and scud them.
Anyway,
watch my face drop now.
I mean, these are the real hard hitting questions that we're getting in on the Ask Mark and Daz Anything. So we'll see how that goes tonight. But 0141 951 1025 on the phones, and we will hear from the Scotland camp in the not too distant future as well. Let's start with, I think we've got Paul, who is going to be on the line in just a second, so we'll join him and see what he's thinking for us. Are you the type, Mark? Did you sit down and get the feet up and pour over Celtic at Sligo Rovers last night?
If I'm honest, I forgot it was even on.
Oh, come on.
Until I seen in social media.
Lewis Palma hat-trick.
Well,
you know they were losing 2-1, don't you?
Yeah, that's the only thing. I was at Partick Thistle's training, actually. But after that, you know, and some of the boys were mentioning it. What do you take out of something like that? Like, for the fringe players like Palma, who's became a fringe player pretty quickly, what more can he do than go and score a hat-trick to show Brendan Rodgers he's still there when called upon? Another few fringe players probably shown that they won't do. Maybe the goalkeeping department. And it was an opportunity for some young players to go and impress and mix it with the older players. So that's really what you take from it. I don't think you can draw anything.
I think the younger players get the benefit of it because, let's face it, right, they go over there, they're travelling, as you say, with some of international players, you've got to say, some experienced first-team players, the managers there as well. So it's a good experience for younger players. And it would have been a hard game because, listen, Irish football is very, very good and very tough, I've got to say. And a lot of good teams and managers over there.
Did you see the box office Brendan bit before the game about inspiring the next generation of fans? Because it's inspired me, genuinely. Maybe this is something, a topic we can ignite tonight. So he said, I've said to the players, it gives you an opportunity to inspire. Because I remember 18th of May, I think it was, 1983, when I was 10, I went to watch Finn Harps versus Celtic, and 41 years later, I still remember that. We wouldn't doubt Brendan Rodgers, we'd take him at his word. I'm sure it was 18th of May, I've not even bothered to check. But it did get me thinking, what was the game that made you fall in love with football then? I'd be really impressed if it is Finn Harps against Celtic in the 18th of May, 1983, but maybe it's something else. Inspired by Brendan Rodgers, what was the game that made you fall in love with football? Maybe you can tweet us at Clyde SSB and tell us that as well. I did say it was a quiet day. Come on, let's get nostalgic. Let's take a trip down memory lane. Going to be hopeless for you, Gordon Dale, because you don't remember.
No, I remember anything. A few games. I remember my first ever game. It was at Somerset. My father and his best pal, Adam Hawke, who used to play there, went down there and they were actually playing Motherwell. And it was a packed Somerset and I sat in the press. But I was only a youngster.
So Ayr against Motherwell was your first, away is your first game?
First ever game.
What are the chances?
Unbelievable, wasn't it?
Two places close to your heart
and
throughout
I'll
your
life. I'll tell you the game I loved more than anything, but I can't remember the score, but I remember Motherwell playing Tottenham Hotspur at Fir Park in the Texaco Cup. And I got a lift over, and Martin Chivers, and you can look at this, was playing centre forward, a fantastic England international. And Spurs were lined up with celebrity players, incredible.
Celebrities playing for them.
I couldn't get the word out that
Markham
one.
And Wise.
I just used celebrity.
<On the wing. laughs>
Brendan Rodgers is getting nothing on you. What was the game that made you fall in love with football, Mark Wilson?
Oh,
come on, geezer, a Dundee V breaking.
I don't know. By the way, right, this is an odd one. You wouldn't think it. Remember the Motherwell Dundee United Scottish Cup final?
Yes.
When was that? 91.
I was at it.
Oh, well done. Bye. But that, I loved that. I remember. So what age was that? 91.
So not even a Celtic game.
It was a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, something like that. Loved watching that and thought entertaining stuff had about everything. And
There you go. There's just a wee Twitter topic for you tonight. Or maybe you can phone in inspired by Brendan Rodgers and his trip down memory lane last night. What was the game that made you fall in love with football? But anything else? Scotland squad, early season reflections, you decide. Pick up that phone. Paul is on the line. How are you, Paul?
I'm good, Gordon. I'm good.
What are you thinking tonight?
So I've got a couple of... I couldn't resist the new topic with the questions. So I've got a,
no, I've keep got us quiet, please.
I'm nervous.
And then I've got a serious question about the Scotland squad as well. So I'll start. I'm getting worried about... I'm studying Mr. DL's career more than I need to, but I reckon he's the only player to ever have played for John Gregg and Billy McNeil.
Oh, yes, wow. I certainly did.
About the only, we know that, but do you seriously think you could be the only one?
Well, I don't know how you would check that, but it just occurred to me. But
no. Because when I went to Man City, Derek Parlin was there. It played with Rangers, and I'm Well, hold on, he might have left before. No, I think he was there with Greggy.
What a quiz question answer you would be if that was the case.
Yeah, but also a Lisbon Lion and Bertie Auld. So McNeil, Auld and John Gregg are three famous brilliant footballers.
But I think the more random strands you add to it, the less impressive like a fact it becomes.
Yeah, okay.
I liked the McNeil and Gregg. It took us 2 seconds to debunk it, Paul, but it was a good try.
Sorry. So I'm trying to kind of go straight his book for him. So that was
up front and honest.
Up front and honest is the title.
Rather than ask him who was the best player down the Duchess in the Sunday bounce games, who was his toughest opponent at his time with Man City?
Ooh. Oh, it's got to be the legendary Joey Jones. It was a Welsh international. Won a lot of trophies with Liverpool. Fantastic player. Tried to bully me a little bit because of his experience and everything about it, but sheer pace just killed him on the day.
Is that not the guy you were up against when the comedian gave you the title?
Yeah.
Sheer pace killed him.
On the day. Man. I'm sure he's sheer pace, mate. You can't, well, how many wingers ran by you?
Let's go serious for a minute, Paul. Give us your Scotland thoughts ahead of the weekend.
Yeah, so that's my Gordon Dale promotion for my. So I think we've got a dearth of young players coming through, an alarming dearth. If you take, Lennon Miller aside, there's not really that many. Ben Bolt, obviously. And I think we need to go back to the kind of Jack Charlton, the Anglo Scots. Is there any reason why Harvey Barnes wouldn't be selected for Scotland?
I mean, Mark, that's one that's been bubbling away. I'd imagine a question has been asked at some point. I don't know how these things work. I can't imagine you're going to ask the question every international break. I guess the ball's probably just left in his court, and if he has some change of heart, because there's a couple at Newcastle. Well, obviously Elliot Anderson's a weird one now at Nottingham Forest, because he came into a squad
and then left,
dropped out. Tino Livramento was the other one that was mentioned in the build up to the Euros. I think the reason would be quite simply that they don't fancy it currently. Is that what you'd be left to conclude?
That's what you've got to take from it. If it was going to happen, that would have been done by now with these players, because Scotland have it. I was going to say Scotland have hit their peak, I hope not, but going to the Euros was a massive high for the country, and it was an ideal opportunity for those players to go, yep, I'll jump on board and put myself in the shop window, but they didn't. So what? I really can't see them signing up to play in the Nations League or the World Cup qualification campaign.
Is there a reality though that the further these guys get away from an England call up, and I know that sticks in some people's throats, so I do get that, that's an entirely different debate really, but in terms of how they might be thinking, is that not also a factor? I do take your point. You think surely the Euros is a good time to jump on board, but if you still think, well, I might get an England cap, but then a year passes or 2 years passes and you feel even further out of that picture, is that not a factor?
But I think they may just look at what you're talking about, the England cap first and foremost. Now, they're going to change their manager, or they're going to keep the interim manager, depending on how he does in results. So they might just buy time to say, do you know what, under a new sort of leadership, we might get the opportunity to play with England. So they could be sitting doing a waiting game.
And by the way,
I don't think we should be waiting for them. Look, we've been hit with a lot of injuries, but I think sometimes it's, you look at young players coming in. Ben Doak, for instance. Now, the one thing you can argue now with Ben Doak is he wasn't playing any game. He didn't have any game time at Liverpool, really. He's now been out on loan to Middlesbrough. I think he's played 5 or 6 games. He's obviously playing with a lot of confidence. He's enjoying his football. He's getting that first team run. We brought in a couple of other ones. Mackenzie up at Aberdeen, what a start they've had. And he's playing very well indeed. Devlin, there's a big question for you. A lot of people might look at Devlin, who's been in terrific form with Aberdeen, saying, well, will he start at right back? Because Ralston's not played a lot of first team football. In my opinion, I think Ralston should start. But it's still a debate to have. And I think it's a good debate that these guys have come in. Give them the opportunity and see what they can do. Because we've been crying out for change since the Euros. Yes, we've changed the system to a four. Is that because Tierney's not involved? We don't really play the three unless Tierney's there because he's brilliant at it. But it's an opportunity, I think.
Not Matondo's quite right to point out that Livramento was actually added to the England squad yesterday, wasn't he? Yeah. Harvey Barnes still. Paul, what more can you do though? I mean, you want this, you want more of an aggressive sales pitch, or how do you think ever changes with these guys?
I mean, as you say, you don't know what goes on in behind the scenes, but and I'm showing my age talk with Jack Charlton, but he was basically, I mean, the famous one was Cascarino, which is an amazing backstory with that, but he basically went out and saw who had an Irish grandparent and pitched to them. So I don't know. I guess I'm going to say Steve Clark doesn't strike as having the personality to do that, if you like. So whether it be John Carver, I don't know, you know, but I think there's surely got to be other than...
yeah, that's a bit harsh though, Paul. But you think so? Surely there must be more important factors here than, you know, Harvey Barnes would play for Scotland if Steve Clark told funnier jokes. You know, there must be more to it than that.
Yeah,
it's just...
Maybe.
No, I mean, Mark, how much can your sales pitch really, really do? If it's just some, if it's like, I don't want to play for Scotland or I want to hold out for England, what can really be said? I mean, it was great to get Scott McTominay when we did, obviously.
Yeah, I think if it's a straight out no, straight through the off, before the meeting's even taking place, then that's fine, done and dusted. But I do think sometimes a manager's personality can inspire and can drag you over the line that players think, you know what, I didn't think he was like that, but I really want to play for this guy. I see his vision, I see his plan, I liked what he said face to face. I think that does happen. Now, probably at club level, because club managers try and sign players, and that's what gets the deal over the line. I don't know how often it happens with international managers.
Okay, thank you to Paul. 01419511025. It's a good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. 0141 951 1025. That's the number that you need. You can tweet us as well. We're looking ahead to the Scotland games. We're asking you, since it is a bit of a quieter period on the domestic front, maybe you want to pause for reflection on the domestic season. Tell us what's caught your eye, good or bad, whether it's your team or a player. You want to look back on something, you can do that right now as well. And for some reason, they've put on Twitter that you can ask Mark and Daz anything, given how quiet it is in the midweek of internationals. Curious Creatures is on.
What's he asking?
He says, a question for the Dazzler. What would I like to know? What things he finds relaxing when he's home after the show? What is his favourite programme? Old school stuff like Life on Mars? Or does he like those shorter movies where kid on taxis are the stars? Do not answer that. Seriously. Just don't. I can trust myself to read out the poem. I cannot trust you to answer.
Up front and honest.
What about this? The old gene's been on.
Looking
old
for his
Kevins.
Comp ticket to Partick Thistle.
Oh,
text message. I'd like corporate hospitality and a hot meal. No travel expenses. I'll take the number 17 bus. I'll see what I can do.
You should get him hospitality.
Do you know what did alarm me, I have to say, when coming into the show tonight? Have you seen it? Have you seen his new private plate?
Yeah.
Apart from next you
he's
are
like Del Boy, isn't he?
Honestly,
I think there's something going wrong.
You,
away your head.
You've gone and got the new car, fancy car. You've added the private plate. I don't know.
He is Del Boy. All the back. Got a bit of money behind him somehow, and
he's won something.
What's it called? A midlife crisis.
Oh, you're past midlife.
Past that, but yeah,
unless you're going to live to 140.
ten more summers crisis.
It's the bit when it says Daz.
Hey, okay, don't give it away.
I didn't give the start away.
All right, okay.
Well, people could probably guess. Did you not mention it the other week?
No, we didn't say specifically what it was.
Well, he's got his number and that.
Give the full thing away in case somebody looks him up, finds out he's not taxed his car.
What are you thinking when you're getting a private reg? I'm not really into private Reggies.
Well, I don't mind it as a concept as such, but him, it's there's something about the decision now.
Especially when you've got your name on it, though.
I think he's decided that he just wants noticed when he's driving
through. No, I don't actually.
Driving up Airbus Road.
Peeping the horn. Windy down.
You'll be at the Wonder Bar tomorrow. Yeah.
2:30, 3 o'clock arrival time.
Estimated
arrival time at Wonder Bar.
You were well chuffed though, weren't you?
He's parked right out front.
So I was parked there, and I was in my car when he drove in. You should have seen the smile on his face. Point his wretched.
And have you heard the other big development? If the new car, the new Reg, doesn't scream three-quarter life crisis.
Yeah,
have you heard the biggest development of them all?
Right, go.
He's getting the Barnet done. 62 years of age.
I don't think he can ever stop.
As in replaced.
He's getting the hair transplant done.
I'm getting the bit of the back done.
Just a portion.
But yeah.
I thought people get the full lot done.
I was in seeing Paul the other day there at Merchant City Medical Centre.
I wonder why. What a shameless plug for free hair.
I'm hoping that cuts the bill down a little bit. And he says, look, plenty of promise.
Genuinely getting a proper at your stage in life.
Yeah, but I'm not getting the front, I'm getting the back. Yeah. These cans that I've worn all the years.
The penalty spot filled in.
Yeah, I've got to.
You don't?
Yeah, you genuinely don't. I do.
I'm surprised at that, a man of your stature being insecure like that with a bald spot.
It's not insecurity. It's just the fact of progression, I call it.
Progressing to what? Full head of hair? When you're to a perm? See, when he comes in after, it's going to look even funnier.
So when can we expect?
No, the best bit is, it's going to be black. I'm going back to black. the private Reg in the black.
When can we expect it?
Oh, I'm not doing it for a couple of months. I'm doing it later on.
See, the first night he'll come in with the hat on. Oh, I can't
That'd
wait.
Be amazing. You're really getting it done?
Yes.
Yeah, I've already seen. Everybody
there was a really weird moment when I heard him explaining it to Jim Duffy the other night.
Oh, wow. A lot of cash needed for that.
It was interesting. Anyway, right, let's go to George, who's on the phones. How are you, George?
Hi, yeah, not bad. How are you guys?
Good, thank you. Good, George. What are you thinking tonight?
Yeah, well, I was quite interested listening to that conversation about adapting to different hairstyles. It reminds me of when I had a mullet in my 20s. Unfortunately, 18 years in social work, that's long gone now, and I'm left looking like a monk, but hey-ho.
Well, you're in luck. We know a guy. George,
sort you right out, George. But let's talk football before he gets himself in any sort of corporate trouble.
That's all right. That's fine. So we've got the Scotland games coming up, and I'm looking forward to going to see the Portugal game. I just wanted to put a question to you. Mm-hmm. So, we've got quite a number of good, young, promising players coming through the ranks, as we know, some of which are given their chance in these two games, which is great, such as Ben Doak and Jack McKenzie of Aberdeen and things like that. My question is, at what point, do you introduce the other young lads that have started to make headlines? The likes of, for example, David Watson of Kilmarnock, he started off pretty strong. Lennon Miller of Motherwell, again, he's setting the headlines for all the right reasons. There's another guy, Danny Armstrong, I think, started off quite well at Kilmarnock as well. Yeah. So I was just wanting to put the point.
Good question. Let's put it to them. Danny Armstrong would be a bit different, just in the sense that he's a touch older. He's not. It's not like he's in the 21s or anything currently. That's not to dismiss it entirely. Just not in the same bracket as the other two. I'm hearing a lot of this, Gordon, because people do want new and they do want change and they want youth, and that's all understandable. Is it valid currently? Or
look, I think everybody likes youth. Everybody likes to see young players coming in, given the opportunity. Of course we do. I just don't think we can rip everything up and say, oh, the experienced one, right, okay, the Euros was a real disappointment. We've not I think we've won 1 in 14. We've got two difficult games coming up, but I think you've got to have a mixture, Gordon. As I say, Ben Doak, who's got to be a terrific talent, probably going to be a really terrific international in time to come. He's only been out to Middlesbrough. He's only probably played 5-6 games this season. So sometimes it's a big ask to put all the responsibility onto every young player's shoulder. The good thing there that George is saying, he's naming players that are for the future. And it looks promising, because Miller is a terrific young player at Motherwell. Watson's the same at Kilmarnock. I like the look of McKenzie. I think he's got off to a great start with Aberdeen as well. Doak we're touching on. So there's a nice nucleus there of younger players going to come into the squad. It's up to Steve Clarke to really recognise when their time is ready and put them in from the start.
I wonder if this camp is slightly different, Mark, because Scotland are trying to reach an under 21 Euros for the first time in 28 years, and it hinges on that double header at home to Belgium and away to Kazakhstan. Spain are top of the group, but Scott Gemmell's side are second, and they are ahead of Belgium in goal difference. So if they beat Belgium at Tynecastle tomorrow, it guarantees a place in the playoffs. So Steve Clarke did say that he wanted to leave some of them, you know, where they are, rather than take them out, weaken the 21s. They don't really get much game time for the A squad anyway. Eventually you get someone like Ben Doak, who you're just not willing to do that with. You just want him as part of the others. How do you strike the balance?
I think it's a sensible choice for now, because you're right, Lennon Miller, as good as he's been, is he going to play in front of Gilmore, McTominay, Christie from the start? If he gets any game time, it will be minimal. So I think that's the right call, same with Watson. Doak, I agree with as well. Doak's been in and around the squad. He was going to the Euros, so I kind of see him as a first-team Scotland player at the minute. And he probably will start, or I hope he starts anyway, tomorrow. So I can see the balance. No doubt these players will be involved sooner rather than later. And maybe the argument would be, if we weren't so strong in the midfield department, maybe it would have been different. Maybe Steve Clarke would have taken Miller out of necessity, because he might have played then, because he's a standout player in the division, or one of them in the division just now. But the fact is, we're very strong in that department. And I think Watson's different. Watson's been in and out. He got back in the team a couple of weeks ago, scored a couple of fantastic goals. But again, I think he was taken off, was he, at the weekend again. So it's not like Watson was last year. And that will happen with young players. They will hit peaks, but they'll hit troughs as well. They won't always perform week in, week out to a high standard. It's a learning curve for them. So I'm always wary. I've seen a player having a group of good games and then just being thrown into the international
side. Where do you stand on the counterpoint, which is get them in and around the squad, get experience? Yes, even if they don't play that many minutes, they still benefit.
Yeah, I quite like that. I quite like them getting introduced to the setup. But again, just not off the back of, I'm not saying Miller or Watson is in this case, but others, if they have 10 good games, then, oh wow, he's been doing great for club, let's get him in the international team. These guys who are already in an international setup, who've amassed 10s, 20s, 30s, all the way up in terms of caps, have deserved to be there. They're playing in the Premier League in England. They're playing at the top of your league as well. So you've got to remember, if you're bringing in young players, they've got to displace some of the older, experienced ones as well.
I think it's worth bearing in mind, Gordon, the way that sometimes players are viewed once they go into the international system, if you want to call it that. The last under-21s double header, the first game was against Spain. Lennon Miller didn't get off the bench for Scotland under-21s. Now, don't get me wrong, loads of people disagreed with that and thought that he maybe should have played. And then he played in the Malta game, and I think he scored and assisted in the second. But in the first of the double header, he was an unused sub. So I don't know what... We'll never know fully what Steve Clarke or Scott Gemmell or the staff, what sort of path they see.
Yeah, they've got to find
going from one squad to the other.
They've got to find a
and
path.
And by the way, I know people can jump it, as they sometimes do. They can miss the step.
Yeah, but I think you've still got to earn the right to be there. I think getting into the squad and travelling, like we were talking about some of the young players the other night there, going over to Ireland, to Sligo with Brendan Rodgers and some of the experience you get from that and picking up good habits and seeing what it's all about to be round about the international team, the first team at club club level is very good. It's a great experience, but you still got to earn the right and put into place as well. Steve Clarke's probably coming in for a lot of stick now after the Euros, and obviously the record in the last 14, 15 games hasn't been great. So you can't ask him just to say, right, I'll tell you what, I'll just throw the young players in. He's a manager. He's a very experienced manager, very experienced coach. He's dealt with this before. He's got to have the timing right to put these young kids in.
It's a good point though, George, that's for sure. I'm sure many people will have an opinion, so why not share it with us on the phone? And whilst you get your calls in, let me tell you about this.
Win £275,000.
Tomorrow is the day. £275,000 will be given away. It is a guaranteed winner, and I'm going to guess you would like that winner to be you. So here's everything you need to know to win the £275,000. Text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rayo Network competition are on our website. Lines close at 5pm tomorrow. I cannot see any value in leaving it until the last minute. Imagine that passes you by. There's not even a phrase or an amount to remember. You don't even need to pick up within the five rings. You just need to answer your phone. And we are talking £275,000 paid into your bank straight after the call. The hair transplant would be done within the hour if it was Gordon DL's winner. So good luck. Text YES to 61025.
Win £275,000. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB if you want to get in touch. It's really up to you. There's a bit more of a, I mean, there's always a blanks, a clean slate, blank canvas, whatever cliche you want, for you to introduce something, a new topic. But I think particularly, it's not like we've got domestic games coming out of our ears or massive talking points. I'm just taking a look maybe back at some of the things that jumped out at you from the early stage of the season. Of course, the Scotland games are just around the corner, and anything else as well. For some reason, someone has put on the Super Scoreboard Twitter that you can ask Mark and Daz anything, apparently. I mean, some of the suggestions are just...
Is it poor?
Derek says Rangers v Celtic on Saturday. Daz starts left wing, Wilson starts right back. Who's winning the battle?
Catch yourself on.
Again, there's levels. When I was playing for Celtic in Champions League, and he was playing for Rangers, and what cups did you play in? Texaco Cup.
Mate, and I would have destroyed you in my pace.
Not a chance.
Kevin says, what is the most both, oh, this will be good for you, what is the most both of you would pay for a pair of trainers?
By the way, do you know something? I've got to say, and shame on you too. Remember my good ones that I brought out in Nike? They're beautiful.
They got hammered, remember?
The green air bubbles.
Mate, I paid a right few quid.
You squeaked
for
all the way to Hampden one day when you and I walked it from Mount Florida.
Do you know, I've never... I look at them every morning in the rack and I think, well, I go for them again.
No, I've had the big decision to make, and I'm going to come clean about something, right? Because usually I do like to give you stick for fashion choices and so on. And I think it's only fair that I take my fair share of the criticism, right?
Okay, go.
I've had a very, very bad week on that front, and I think you'll like this. So you'll remember last month, Willie Collum filmed me and him filmed the VAR review. You remember that? Mm-hmm. And we went through all the incidents. That same night, he came on the show, didn't he?
Yeah.
He came on the show as well. He then appeared on the warm-up show as well. I got a little bit of a sort of reputation there. I then turn on my TV that weekend and I see Chris Boyd on national TV cracking jokes about how Willie Collum and I were probably, you know, sitting on the couch together. And then Roger Hannah started it. I've noticed this. Don't really like it on a Monday night. He's always saying that we're best pals. Yeah. And me and Willie Collum this, that and the next thing, right? So yesterday we went to film the next VAR review. It will be out next week, looking back on some of the incidents. I turn up and we're wearing the exact same outfit. I mean, the exact same.
Are you talking about jumper trousers?
But I mean the exact, like from the same shop, like it was the exact same, and it was quite distinct. Not
who wore it best?
Don't be daft, right?
Wally.
But so it comes in,
and I pulled my jumper off.
I'm not. I think hopefully you'll agree. I'm quite low maintenance. I'm not much a diva, but I was like, this can't be allowed. There's no way. There is no way we could sit here seriously with a straight face do these. With
so
the exact
who calls
same.
The shots there? So if you're the television broadcast.
Someone.
Toss the coin.
We filmed it fairly close to.
While he was top off.
We filmed it fairly close to Glasgow Fort and somebody nipped up and bought me something out of Marks and Spencer.
Oh, he is a diva! No way. You sent somebody out. Oh, you've changed.
They offered to go. We couldn't have sat there with the same thing on.
The big time.
Because it would have taken away from everybody would have just commented on that.
Oh, that'd have been good.
I think that would have looked better.
So you buds. And Willie shop at the same shop.
it would appear so.
That's more.
What age is Willie?
I don't know, 48 or something, I don't know.
And he's got the same clobber on as you?
Listen,
he's trying to be young, isn't he? He's trying to reinvent himself. After hanging up the old black uniform, he's trying to be
He'll be lying.
What I haven't told you is it was me that turned up with a referee's outfit on.
Running backwards.
But anyway, so a low moment, you can wear whatever trainers you like.
I'm going to tune into that. When's that?
But I'm not wearing that. I changed.
I want to see what Willie was wearing.
There is a picture. I'll maybe release that. I'll maybe release the picture at some point.
Of twins.
Twins. Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
Give me a break here.
We Gordy, we Wally. That doesn't go hand in hand.
If you don't mind. I'd rather we didn't go there.
I've seen him in the shower.
Chris is on the line. How are you, Chris?
Yeah, I'm good. I didn't know I was going to be on the phone to Gok Wan, right enough.
I know, honestly. What are you thinking tonight, Chris? Talk to us about football.
So it's just to get your opinion. It's just in the back of the last caller, mate. Like in terms of the Scotland team, I phoned up quite a while ago. Jim Duffy was on the phone, and the under-21s, they were absolutely flying. And we were crying out for a striker, and we had the boy Hornby, that was at Everton at the time. And he was just totally overlooked. But I don't understand where this fear comes from of putting these guys in, like Lennon Miller and stuff. Like, Callum McGregor's retired, so Lennon Miller can come in. You've got guys at McTominay, they're not old. You keep them in, McTominay, like Gilmore, John McGinn. You've got these guys that are experienced, but they're not old, so having that mix there. But I just don't get the fear that we have that other countries don't have. They'll put young guys in that are playing well for their club, and they'll put them in and let them showcase their talent. Now, these Nations League games, let's be honest, are glorified friendlies. And Steve Clarke did say he was preparing for the World Cup, which is in 2 years' time. So when are we going to get these guys in to prepare for the World Cup? We've got Craig Gordon, no disrespect, right? 41-year-old, no disrespect to him, he's been brilliant. But why bring him in for these games? Why not let Ross McCrory play?
Is Ross McCrory ready to be Scotland's number one goalkeeper, though, Chris? I mean, I agree in theory, but surely we've got to be careful about, you know, promoting for promoting's sake.
But it's not promoting for promoting's sake. He's good enough to be in the squad, so why not? Why let bring a 41-year-old back into block that pathway? We just don't have it, and it's quite infuriating, if you will, because other countries do it. Look at Spain, they had a 16- and 17-year-old guys on the wing. England do it. France do it. I know we might not have the talent they guys have got, but
I know that this is where it's difficult, Mark and Gordon, because I get that theory, but let's be clear: if we had a Yamin Lamal, we wouldn't leave him out. That's a myth. That stuff, right? He's elite level and then some. I like the theory of what Chris is saying, but in some ways, his own argument. He's mentioned Fraser Hornby. With all due respect, where is Fraser Hornby? And he was banging him in for the 21s. It doesn't mean, by the way, I think you all know how I feel. I'd love to see Lennon Miller play for Scotland. So it's not necessarily about them. It's about it. Is it that simple always?
No, it's not. I think people think that, and we keep using Lennon Miller. Lennon Miller will go on, I'm sure, to have a terrific Scotland career. He's a wonderful player, and we're using him in this example, and we think he's right in our eye line just now. He's won player of the month for Motherwell. He's eye-catching. He's young. So he must get in that Scotland team. But people often forget about who's in the Scotland team already. These guys are playing well. So Lennon Miller's playing well at Motherwell. Scott McTominay's playing well at Napoli. Gilmore is a top player. Ryan Christie's playing a bit deeper in the midfield. Kenny McLean will be in there. So when John McGinn's fit, and then you add all that, those guys are also in there. We do want youth, but it's not as easy as David Watson's playing well for Kilmarnock. So let's get him in the starting lineup, because we need to evolve and move on. The guys that we've got in our squad, particularly in the midfield area, have got years left in them. Now, it's great that these guys will get promoted, but we can't just put them in and everything will be fixed.
The goalkeeping one's a great debate that Chris raises, because I don't think anyone is pretending that in an ideal world you have to rely on Craig Gordon at this moment in time, Gordon. But if the others are not ready to be his replacement, you can say glorified friendlies, but everybody's ready to batter Steve Clark for this run that they're on. Is Robbie McCrory ready? Is John McCracken ready to be the Scotland number one to play Portugal and Croatia?
The argument is quite simple. We'll never know unless you give them an opportunity.
So you'd be for it then?
No, but what I was going to say is, if I was sitting in the position, I don't think Craig Gordon, particularly the beginning of the season, is playing well for Hearts. But the one thing he brings you is, he knows how to be an international goalkeeper. He's got bags and bags of experience, obviously. He's been a terrific goalkeeper. Obviously, I don't think you're the same at 41. I don't care how fit you keep yourself. So it'll be interesting. I think he will go with Craig Gordon because of that, because of experience, because he knows how to handle the situation. But you never know until you put them in. You look at Xander Clark. Xander Clark must think he's the most unlucky goalkeeper in the world. He went to the Euros. He was really number two at one point. He would have been sitting just now. If it hadn't been for Craig Gordon, Xander Clark would be the goalkeeper. There's no doubt about that. He'd be the goalkeeper in the next two games. All of a sudden, he's not even in the Scotland squad and he's number two at Hearts. I like to see people getting an opportunity, Gordon. I really do. Look, Steve Clark's got his own way of thinking. You can talk about the younger players. I still think you've got to earn your right as a younger player to get in the team, and I think it's up to the manager to blend you in when he thinks it's right for you at the right time. But goalkeeping one's a very interesting situation.
Okay, thank you to Chris. It's that time of the night already. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Okay, Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to win a signed ball and take the you-know-what out of Mark Wilson or Gordon DL. 01419511025, and the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. 01419511025 if you would like to join in, and we would love you to. So give us your thoughts tonight, whether it is just a sort of more general reflection on the start of the season, given that things are a bit quieter during this week. A lot of you have been looking ahead to the Scotland games and looking at maybe youngsters coming into the squad and so on, but what about the actual group that's there? We'll hear from Kenny McLean. What do you want to see? What do you expect to see? Any ideas for how Scotland can be more successful during this international break? Anything else at all that's out there, do get in touch. We did say on Twitter someone has come up with a bright idea that because it's a quiet night, you can ask Mark and Daz anything, which is a bit of a worry, I have to say, but I'm looking at some of the replies and then my worries are justified, quite frankly.
Any good
what's
ones?
That one? Chunk Yogurt says, what colour is Dazzy's? Oh, no, absolutely not.
Orange.
No way, absolutely
seen
not. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time.
What's your question?
I don't have the Beat the Pundit questions.
By the way, but didn't you answer
this
the question?
Is going to be good.
The trainer question.
Somebody's going to be, what is the most you would pay for a pair
pound.
Of trainers? Seriously?
Aye.
You're not getting much for that these days, are you?
Nah, a pair of trainers, 50.
I can see that.
I actually bought trainers that were too wee, took them to Timson, got them stretched. Great deal.
You're joking.
No.
Of course you did.
3 days of laying Timson's getting stretched.
Shut up.
I got a good deal on them.
Even by your standards. So what, you're a nine?
I'm a nine and a half, really.
So you bought an eight?
I bought an eight and a half.
And got them stretched?
Got them stretched.
That is the... Oh,
3 days.
That,
no much it cost me to get them stretched.
No.
$6. There you go.
Didn't even know that,
didn't
was,
know
a
that
thing.
Was an option.
There was a price on it.
I didn't know
the boy must have
good.
Had to make up that
right,
price.
So
because nobody else has asked to get their shoes
a
stretched.
Shoe stretching service.
I was back for them. They says, look, give them over a weekend, let them rest. And I went back
before you wear them.
I went back on the Monday. By the way, too big for me now.
Get them in the shrink machine.
Two pair of socks.
That's atrocious. Seriously,
two pair of socks. I've got two. How's that atrocious? I once done.
Buy the right size.
By the way, I've done worse than that. I bought a 9 and a 10 once.
Yeah, I remember that. But
great deal. Two pair of socks on the right, one pair of socks on the left.
I didn't know you could get your trainer stretched. I genuinely didn't.
No,
but there you
yeah,
go.
You can.
Anyway, let's play Beat the Pundit. Mark, you lost your first game of the season on Thursday.
I'm flying.
Very disappointed.
I'm flying.
You're the informed pundit.
Nobody wants to play me.
Five in a row.
Nobody wants. I'm flying.
Sensational.
Five in a row.
Five. I won the other night.
Did you?
I'm skelting everybody that comes.
Jamie is from Livingston.
Ooh.
But he's in Italy on holiday.
Oh,
very nice.
Jamie.
Whereabouts, Jamie?
Sorrento.
Oh, my favourite place, Jamie.
Wonderful.
I love Sorrento.
Is that not where you had a good celeb spot when you went there, didn't you?
Oh, Totti. Roma, I was over in Capri.
So it wasn't right.
Yeah, we got the wee boat over. Jamie will tell you. By the way, the wee square down. You get down at night, you sit in the wee square, and you just people. It's fantastic.
Good on you, I'm sure.
Get a bottle of that lemoncello. That. Bring me a wee bottle back, Jamie. Duty free.
Did you see? You seriously saw?
For the ball,
Francesco Totti.
You'll know what my ball. Yeah. I was standing right next to him.
That's a good one. That's a good celeb spot, I have to say.
By the way, I'd be happy with that. What a handsome man he is.
Oh,
I've never looked at a guy and went, by the way, you're handsome.
Now you sit next to us two on a Thursday
night.
Certainly looked at him that day and I thought, do you know what? You're a handsome
good
boy.
On him. Right. Having a good time, Jamie? You just thought you'd try and top it off by winning a sign ball?
Yes, indeed. I was hoping for a bottle of lemoncello with a dazzler.
Brilliant. Good on you, mate.
Heated quilt.
The electric blanket, he's still rocking the blanket.
Superb, you can't beat it. I recommend it to everybody out there.
Right, heads it will be Mark Wilson, tails it will be Gordon Dalziel. And I'm afraid it is heads. So Mark Wilson, you need to bounce back.
Okay,
after losing
good luck, Jamie.
Last week, Jamie,
legend.
Thank you.
He's been on the limoncello.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Don't mind that.
Steady, Jamie. It's supposed to just be a
keep
wee.
Keep drinking.
Right, let's give Mark some greatest hits radio so that he can't hear us. Jamie, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can, and you're welcome to pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Right, 30 seconds, and your time starts now. Who scored a hat-trick in Celtic's friendly win against Sligo Rovers last night?
Palmer.
Raith Rovers' Ross Matthews had his testimonial game against which team last night?
Pass.
Which Rangers player currently wears number 8?
Conor Barron.
Who left their position as Clyde manager today? Which Premiership team did Stuart Kettlewell manage prior to Motherwell?
St Mirren.
Okay, let's bring him back. Mark Wilson, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Do I look alright?
Wonderful tonight.
I say yes. You look wonderful tonight.
Jamie's trying to answer the questions. Your mic's still on, and all right. I can hear is you singing down the mic while he's trying to answer the questions.
Jamie, a bit of relaxing.
He's in Italy.
I even gave you the universal sign for be quiet, and you just kept singing.
It's thirsty.
I can imagine you on many evenings with that playing in the record player, turning the lights down.
Are you ready, Mark Wilson?
Yeah. Go for it. Yeah.
30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who scored a hat trick in Celtic's friendly win against Sligo Rovers? Raith Rovers' Ross Matthews celebrated his testimonial last night against which team?
Pass.
Which Rangers player currently wears number 8?
Barron.
Who left their position as Clyde manager today?
Ian McCall.
Which Premiership team did Stuart Kettlewell manage prior to Motherwell?
Ross County.
Which team celebrated their 150th anniversary
Morton.
At the weekend?
Brilliant.
And which former Rangers player currently manages an English Premier League team?
Russell Martin.
Ooh, okay.
They were easy, weren't they?
Jamie, do you think he's done you? What do we think, Jamie?
Jamie's way back down the square.
Done.
Oh, you sounded confident, Mark.
Yes.
You're on the lemon tonight, mate.
No, it was a good start from Jamie. Yep. He knew that Luis Palma was the hat-trick scorer for Celtic
that.
Against Sligo last night. None of you
knew
Raith Rovers against
I would say Hearts.
It was Hearts.
Was it?
Ross Matthews' testimonial. And he's the current number 8 in Wraith, a jersey which you claimed had been retired in your
retired
honour.
For,
said that last
they,
week.
They
when
retired
you were
it for 10 years.
No.
Yeah, they did. You look back.
Speaking of which, the current Rangers number 8 is Conor Barron, and you both got it.
Oh.
Ian McCall, though, Jamie, you did not get. So it's a 3-2 up to Mark Wilson. And then he shows his endurance here. Ross County. Stuart Kettlewell, 4-2.
Good one, yes.
Greenock Morton, 150th, 5-2. Yes. Russell Martin, Southampton.
It's an absolute battering.
It's a 6-2. I'd still rather be on holiday in Italy than here.
Ah, yeah.
Jamie,
I'm lucky, mate.
Famous Celtic result, the 6-2, you know. So,
good man.
You did show your hand earlier with the Celtic reference. How satisfied are we with the start to the season? Very, I would imagine.
Oh. Well, given your question last night, I would say 10 out of 10 for marks on the scorecard. So that's for me, 10 out of 10. Obviously, given the Dortmund one was pretty poor. But apart from that, 10 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, we were talking about the kind of grade your team season last night. Mm-hmm. And the first Celtic fan came on and said that domestically, he would say Celtic were an 8.5 out of 10.
Really?
Thought, I wonder what more.
Yeah.
He then claimed he was only doing it, that you like this, he was only doing it.
Because there's room for improvement.
No, only doing it to make Hugh disagree, so that Hugh would then say nice things about Celtic. That's what he said anyway.
He's overthunk that one, I think.
I think so. But Jamie, what's impressed you most? Is it sort of the performance levels more than the results?
I just think probably the way we've no really missed Matt O'Reilly. I mean, he's been a fantastic player, and the fact that we're not even talking about him this season has been absolutely fantastic. So, just shows you how good the team is actually playing now. So, I'll go with that.
You know what? That's a great shout.
When you sell your best players, you know what I mean? Like, you usually thought, we're missing that, but we're not missing any. We're absolutely fantastic. Signings have been amazing, so, brilliant.
I think that is a really good shout, because usually when a team loses a player to that sort of transfer fee, and they're bought in Scotland, let's be honest, because they've done exceptionally well here. And nobody's really mentioned him. I know he goes down there and he gets injured in his first game, but usually Celtic are missing the creativity, or a team's missing the goals of the striker they've just sold. It's not been the case. Jamie's right with that, because the players that have come in have really, performed straight through off Engels right away. You've seen he was a player. His only disappointment has been against Dortmund. Bernardo's come in, done a good job as well. Even McCown, when he comes into the fold last week, fills that position well. So really good shout. But the way they're playing, how fluid they are, it's close to top marks. I would take a good couple of marks off for the Dortmund display. That's the only real black mark against them this season.
What about the... And it's very early, Jamie. We've got Scotland games to come back first. But how good's it going to be to come back to that top of the table clash against Aberdeen?
It'll be a difficult game. It's always a difficult game against Aberdeen, but at home, I fancy our chances.
I mean, that's the thing. You would have to, Gordon. And I don't mean this to turn into the world's earliest pre-match, or preview. There is a bit of time to go, but. I was going to say it'll answer a lot of questions. Celtic will still be favourites. There's no disgrace if Aberdeen lose it, but it's almost like, can you imagine the size of this Aberdeen story if they cap off this start to the season with something at Celtic Park? Again, I know it will seem unlikely to a lot of people, but what a build up it's going to be, and what a game.
Yeah, because everybody's questioning Aberdeen's start, saying, right, okay, they've not played Celtic or Rangers yet. It's a big ask for Aberdeen, but they'll certainly come to Glasgow full of confidence. I think the new manager's got them playing very well, well organised, scoring goals. I thought Hearts were a wee bit unlucky not to take something.
They were, weren't they? Yeah,
last weekend. There's got to be a big test for Aberdeen soon, because they play Celtic, obviously, at Celtic Park, and then a few weeks later, I think in between Dundee United, Rangers, and then they'll get Celtic again in the semi-final. So it's a big four games coming up. But they'll certainly come with a lot of confidence, because they're playing with confidence. They've not lost. They're sitting up there, joint top. You couldn't ask for a better start. They've got a couple of players in the Scotland squad now. They brought in Nisbet. He started scoring goals as well. So I think there's a lot going for Aberdeen, but I still, especially at Celtic Park, I'd fancy Celtic's role.
Thank you to Jamie. I was enjoying chatting to him, but he really needs to go and enjoy the rest of his holiday rather than speak to us three. Jamie. Enjoy. Hopefully speak to you soon.
Thanks for having me on. Cheers.
There we go, Jamie from Livingston. And where was it? Sorrento.
Sorrento. Have you been?
Limoncello.
I've never been there. No.
Beautiful, mate. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Doesn't it seem like a place you would like?
This is the guy that claims he doesn't like holidays.
Yeah, I know.
But it was a long time ago. But
you still don't like holidays?
I don't mind. I went to Dubai in the summer. I like Dubai.
Dubai. Private plate, hair transplant. This guy has changed beyond all recognition.
Unreal. He's obviously won the lottery or something, isn't he?
Cash the guy.
It's that old, if I won the lottery, I wouldn't tell anyone, but there would be signs. You've seen that stuff doing the rounds on social media.
When
he comes in with a new jet black. Jet black hair swept back.
If I won the lottery, you two would be sitting going, where's the dazzler?
David is a Celtic fan on the line. What's your point, David?
Hi, can I speak to Mark, please?
Mm. Here you go, Mark.
Through. I've got the phone, David. On you go.
Hi, Mark. Listen, Mark, I was watching a game last night, Sligo Rovers. It was good to see some of the young guys there. But the point I've got for you, mate, is watching like Stephen Welsh and Scott Bain, you know, and I'm like, ah, is this the level of these guys' ambition, you know, to sit third and fourth choice? You know, I know it's a lot of, it's good money they're making and all the rest of it, but as a short career, Mark, I don't know how. I mean, you are a first team player, mate, for years. Make sure you're at Parkhead. What's your take on it? Just people sitting on a bench, just happy to play Sligo Rovers and play in the World Cup game, and just sit and be third and fourth choice, mate. I've got a wee point in Lewis Farman off. I can come back in.
It's a personal choice. People will be content with that, I guess.
Especially the goalies.
Well, the goalies.
It's the dream gig for many people.
A lot of goalies. Daz would like that one where they just sit and do nothing really and train every day. Welsh, maybe slightly different. He probably in his own mind still thinks he's got a fighting chance. And I know people and fans from the outside might think, oh, he's crazy if he thinks he's ever going to get back in the team. But footballers don't really think like that. They think when they're in the environment, and Welsh has got a considerable amount of games behind him now, he'll still think he can realistically fight for his place. So it's a personal choice. But sometimes you've got to face reality. I remember, look, I was at Celtic, Strachan had left, I wasn't playing under Tony Mowbray, and as much as I loved my time at Celtic and I loved the club, I wanted to play. So there was an opportunity for me to go on loan, and I asked Tony Mowbray if I could go on loan. And Mowbray says, no, you have to stay because I need you for cover, and ended up I got back in the team, and you know what, worked out okay for me. The point was I faced up and I thought I don't want to just sit in the stand or sit in the bench and not play every week. Some of these guys might like that. I don't know, but it's a personal choice, David.
Did you see the goals that Celtic conceded?
No.
Oh, you've not seen them. David, do you want to describe them?
Well, it's just Scott Bain, isn't it? For me. It's just why maybe Scott Bain is third and fourth choice, to be honest.
Right, let's acknowledge that I don't want to fall into the trap of anyone thinking we're like overanalyzing friendlies. It's just a friendly, and it is what it is. I just do wonder if, especially now, look, there is no hiding place. I've seen them, David's seen them, you two obviously not, but that's the way of the world. It comes on social media. Scott Bain, you don't see much of him, and I know it was just a friendly, but he goes in and it's two really bad mistakes. Like one in particular is like,
that's where it's not just a friendly for guys like Scott Bain.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I wonder,
it's not. He needs to use that as a platform that people like David phone up and say, by the way, I was really pleased with the showing, and it shows that we have got a good number two or number three in Scott Bain that can be relied upon. But it's the opposite. And that's what happens if you go in and make mistakes or high profile mistakes like that. You then get picked apart again. So there's less confidence in you from the Celtic fans. That's why these games, although they are meaningless friendlies on the face of it for many, for the players that get their opportunity, they've got to try and grasp it.
What was your thought? I think you said you wanted to mention Lewis Palmer, David.
Aye, as I said, I've seen the game last night. Lewis Palmer, Lewis Palmer seemed to get quite a lot of the ball. I don't know if that was a kind of tactic or whatever kind of thing, but still not happy with Lewis Palmer. I know he scored the three goals. I've seen him online today and he was like, holding the match ball and putting the three fingers up. It's Sligo Rovers, do you know what I mean? I just feel he can't beat a man, he can't get to the byline. Again, he's one that I don't think is going to get in that team, and it's just kind of, I think it kind of flatters to deceive a wee bit. Just wanted to get a guy's take on that.
You just wonder how far down the pecking order is when you look at the quality of the the wingers have got. Is he better now than a James Forrest? I'd probably say no.
He's behind him, isn't he? Yeah. He's behind Yang, is Yang, he not even
yeah,
now?
Yeah.
I think he's got Maeda's 50. There.
Coon's at the top of his game.
I think it's 50 minutes off the bench. So it's four Celtic appearances, one start against Falkirk in the Cup where he came off after an hour. And then the other three games amount to about 50 minutes, I think, in sub appearances. He's clearly got a long way to go, doesn't
he? Yeah, but at times when he's early start to his career at Celtic, he created and was scoring goals. He looked lively. I remember going to the Kilmarnock game when Kilmarnock beat Celtic down at Rugby Park, and I was sitting and it was quite near where he was, and I kept looking at him and I thought, if you're going to succeed in a Celtic team in Scottish football, you'll need to do a lot better than what he's doing. You know, he was no desire to go on the ball. He was basically standing next to the fullback. Now, I think the boy has got talent. Look, I don't mind that last night. He's been out of the picture. He's got three goals, yes. Everybody will go, oh, it's Sligo Rovers. But Mark quite rightly says, Brendan Rodgers was there. So if you get an opportunity, whether it's in training, whether it's on a friendly game or whatever it may be, you've got to, you know, put a little doubt into the manager's head to say, look, I'm still here, I'm still available, I'm still working hard. And I think if he keeps his head down, I think he's got good talent, but right now he's well down the pecking order for Celtic's wing play.
Okay, thank you, David. It's some good points well raised on 01419511025, and we will be back with plenty more after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson is here, Gordon DL as usual, alongside him on a Thursday, and both still waiting and hoping you will give them a call. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Very quickly, what I'm going to do is give you the full-time teaser. And then move on to something much more important than the full-time teaser, quite frankly. But thanks to Ross and Paisley for sending it. Can you name the last six players to score against Scotland that have played in the English Premier League? Can you name the last six players to score against Scotland that have played in the English Premier League?
Ronaldo.
Yes, Gordon DL.
Kane?
No.
Did he not score against England, against Scotland?
I said the last six. I'm not saying every player that's ever scored against Scotland. Okay. That would be quite a long list, wouldn't it?
My apologies. Modric?
No.
I did.
Again, what bit of this are you not grasping? They need to be the last six players to score against Scotland that have played in England.
The boy scored the long one.
Patrick Schick?
There's been loads of other games.
Yes, these are all recent.
Okay.
So Ronaldo scored just like remember
last month.
And who else scored? Spain. Poland, didn't they?
Spain.
Who did they play in the Euros?
I'm not surprised you two can't remember.
Switzerland. Germany. Switzerland.
One of the Germans.
Switzerland.
Yeah.
You two are dreadful.
The wee left winger.
Shaqiri.
How honestly bad are you two? Anyway, right, okay, we will leave it there. That's your full-time teaser for tonight. We'll try and get the answers before the end of the evening. I've got a special guest joining us on the line right now. We've got former Scotland international, funnily enough, on the topic. Charlie Adam joins us. How are you, Charlie?
Very well, thank you. Okay.
Yeah, all good, all good. How's life? See, Fleetwood are doing pretty well. Not lost a league game since August, is it? And sitting fairly nicely poised. How's it been?
I hope this is not the curse of a call, isn't it? But I'll add to that. I think I'll go for the striker at Arsenal. That'll give them a bit of a hint that for the last time for Germany.
He's on. He's helping them with the teaser because they're so desperately bad.
Havertz.
Well done, yeah, Charlie. Keep it
going. Thank you.
And you two duds, honestly.
I knew Charlie was coming up with the good stuff.
Right, Charlie, that's it. They're allowed one freebie, but no more. How's things going for you down there? Enjoying the challenge?
Yeah, really well. Been in the job 9 months now, and delighted with things are going. It took us a bit of time, obviously, to support relegation. We had to regroup in the summer, and you know, we bought some good players in, stabilised the club, and we feel like we're in a good place. It'll take our time, but no, we're going along nicely, and long may that continues.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose it's a sort of unforgiving schedule, isn't it? And pretty grueling. Is that part of it? The lessons that you learn, just trying to sort of work your way through that, and I guess, not get too low when things don't go well and just keep plowing on, because it's the thing that everyone keeps mentioning down there is how relentless it all is.
It was, but if you'd asked me at 3 o'clock on Saturday after a 0-0 draw at home to Bromley, then I was low as a snake's belly. So, I think emotion is that it's there where you win or lose. You get high, you enjoy the moment, and losing is just something that's very hard to get over. But you have to get over quickly, because when you come into work on the Monday, everybody's looking at you as the manager or the head coach to see what your demeanour is, what you're like, because ultimately you're the one that has to drive this group. And I think I'm quite good at that. And, you know, Saturday night and Sunday was difficult, but, you know, come Monday, I'm ready to go. And, the good thing about playing in England is that there's that many games you play so quickly after another game. But, it's been great. And let's say hopefully we can continue winning football matches.
And with your Scotland hat on, how challenging is this weekend going to be? You've got that big double header, tough opposition, a sort of threadbare squad.
Yeah, I think no matter if we had a top squad and we had everybody available, it would have been tough. But with the injuries and everything that's going on, it's going to be extremely difficult. We have to just hang in there, and we have to try and get results and big performances like we can. And let's say this group has done it before. They're going through a bit of a tough period, but that's where you see the real players coming in and having to step up, and it's an opportunity for lads that have not been playing getting an opportunity now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been good to catch up generally, Charlie, with you, but obviously part of the reason we got you on tonight is World Mental Health Day, as I'm sure many people know. And in recent years you've become a real important spokesperson on this type of subject and really, you know, helped, I think, get the discussion out there and use your status to do that. For those that I guess don't know, tell us what you can of your story and why that's an area you feel passionately about.
I think obviously I had the tragedy of losing somebody. For me, it's I had a very good upbringing as a kid in terms of how parents were, and mum and dad were really good. I'd, you know, three brothers, an older sister, but my dad was a big part of my career, and obviously being a footballer, it now gives you a bit of opportunity to be able to speak out and people listen, and hopefully it helps others, which with the messages I've had over the last week or so in terms of when I've done the video and the interview, it's been really good to see that people have been able to come and speak and open up. It was a tough time through my period in my career in terms of playing in the top level in England, a lot of exposure. I was going through a tough time off the pitch, but what my release was on the pitch in the training. And it took me a lot of tough days and tough months with good support around me and speaking to the right people to get me through it. And being able to come out and now and talk about the difficult time, and the most important thing for me is if I can come and help anybody and people that, you know, in top level other sports have contacted me in the last week or so through social media, has been unbelievable. So it's good that you can come and help and people can speak. And I just want to be able to help, you know, people out in the normal world that, you know, it is good to talk, don't suffer, because, you know, we're losing too many people to suicide, and that's the tough, tough part. And, you know, obviously that experience for me is as going through that with my dad was really tough for me, because he was a big part of my career. And you know, when I lost him, you know, I went to, you know, a tough place, but, you know, let's say I got the support and I got the help, and you know, I managed to get through that and have a good career after that.
Yeah, when your dad took his own life in December 2012, if you think of, I mean, the emotions then and how low that was to the fact that you're able to talk about that now and able to use it and try and help people, is that, how does that feel to have sort of reflected on that journey?
Oh, listen, you know, I'm in a place where I can talk about it and it's good to talk. You know, I've been on courses in terms of speaking through that journey that I've probably never done before. And through the you know, LMA courses and that recently I'd been on, and it wasn't until I actually stood up and spoke in front of a group and actually realised what I'd been through, that was where it hit me hard, and I had a tough time through that on that course with that, and you know, I had great support on there. But I think it was just nice for me to be able to feel comfortable and be able to speak in front of people that I'd never really met before. I knew one or two people within the group, but I didn't really. I just felt it was important that people knew my story in terms of how I was. But really tough time for someone like your dad, who's a big influence in your career. And then for me, the difficult part was that I obviously was playing for Stoke at the time, and the manager turned around and said to me after 3 or 4 months, this is not working for us as the club and also for you. We don't, you know, I wasn't playing, and I just lost my dad in that. It was December. He spoke to me in the January. So I was trying to figure a way of how we can actually get out of the club. And it's really difficult that the way it goes, but again, character-wise and having the right people around you, it gives you real pleasure to be able to come through that and help others.
And I know this is a really sort of extreme and serious example, but is that maybe the side of it that from the outside people aren't going to see? You know, football doesn't offer much sympathy, you know, to what you guys are maybe going through, and then trying to turn up and perform on a Saturday.
No, it's difficult for players and it's difficult for people and staff, but, you know, you don't, as a footballer, you don't want to tell everybody in the world about what's going on in your personal life. Maybe in, you know, I would say probably 2 or 3 months later, or maybe in 6 months later, people will come out and talk that when I was going through that tough time, you know, I was going through this in my life, but it'd be too easy for people to come out and say, well, I'm going through this, can you lay off me a bit? As footballers, and Mark will tell you, and Gordon will tell you, that's not the type of people we are. We want to get on with it. We try to be brave. We try to do what we're doing, because ultimately we represent the football club and we're trying to do the best for the supporters. So I think sometimes when people are going through a tough time, maybe it is easier to come out and be able to speak. But as footballers, I don't think that happens regularly. No, I don't think it will, because at the moment they want to focus on playing and trying to do well. So there's a lot goes into when players are not playing well, you know, and majority of the time they may be having some issues off the pitch.
Is football progressing, Charlie? Is there a safer space there, do you think? Is there still a stigma attached? Is it seen as weakness to speak out about things that are going on in your life? Is it getting there? What more needs to be done?
No, I think it's getting there. I think the players and the, you know, younger players now are becoming braver, being able to speak. But I think that has to come from an environment that they feel safe in, and they feel that, you know, it's not going to affect their performance, or that it's not going to affect the selection at the weekend. So I think now that players are becoming a little bit more braver and they want to talk and they want to speak out, and I think that comes from the top players being able to speak. The top players are the role models for everybody. The top managers are the role models for all the coaches. So I think now is that if you get the younger players coming out speaking, I think it's because they're in a safe environment and they feel that it's a place to talk. I don't see it as a weakness. I think it's there for help. And if we can help players on that journey, then definitely it's something we have to keep trying to strive for.
Charlie, I was going to just ask you something on that then. With your experience and your pathway now into coaching and management, is that something you're particularly strong on with the younger players, trying to learn that side of them away from the field? Not what they're really, you know, performance-wise. Of course, you've got to keep an eye on that, but how they are as characters. When we were growing up, that might have not been the focus on coaches developing your character. It was all about what was on the pitch. You're quite aware of that now?
Yeah, and that's something that you take in mind, and you have, you know, players come into me and go through a tough period with grandparents dying and different situations, and it's how you relate to that, and you try to use your own experience to try and guide them and help them for that. So, it's something I'm looking at as a manager now. I look at a lot in depth of people's body language, how they are, what they're normally like to, you know, because normally if there is an issue, a lot of people become quiet and they become reserved and they're not as bubbly as they normally are. So we try and look at that and probably monitor over 3 or 4 days, and maybe just a little walk around over a pitch and, you know, during a passing drill or whatever, just asking if everything's all right at home. Or, and then normally you get that conversation. I think when you bring them into the office, I think then it becomes a more a formal chat, and it's more difficult probably to get it out of them. And I've found that getting players on the quiet, just walking around the training ground, you get a better and a more relaxed player, and you get more out of them. So again, it's something that it's worked with us at our club, and hopefully, let's say other managers are doing that, and the players are happy enough to be able to come and speak to the coaches or people within the football club.
Obviously, we're talking the, you know, elite level, Charlie, and being a professional footballer, but is he just generally like using football as a force for good, like the power of football? To how much did the sport then help you deal with it? I know it was tough, you said, in those initial stages, but even maybe for people listening who then, because it's such a big part of people's lives, isn't it? You know, maybe
getting
out and going to games and so on.
I think in Scotland, you know, we got fantastic charities in Back On Side and Sam H, who do wonderful jobs with that the players can actually go and speak to, but also people within on the street can go and speak to. There is a lot of help out there, the internet, and you know, just letting people know how you feel and where you're at. So I think, you know, in general, sometimes it becomes too serious before we actually realise that people are in trouble, and we have to try and look after each other better if we can in the world, and not judge people on just what you see, because there could be things in the background that you don't understand and see what they're going through.
Yeah, that would kind of be my sort of final question to you, Charlie, before we let you go. Part of the reason that we have these discussions, well, in fact, the sole reason we have these discussions on here, is obviously that hope that maybe just one person is listening right now that thinks, do you know what, that kind of strikes a chord with me, and maybe I need to go and seek help or speak to someone. What would your advice be to anyone out there that's that is struggling at the moment?
I think pick up the phone to someone that you trust and you believe in, that can give you the support. And don't leave it too late, because unfortunately there is, like I said, there's too many people dying and committing suicide every day. And you know, like I said, don't leave it too late, because ultimately when you leave this world, you know, you leave a lot of pain and hurt behind, and that's what I personally found, because I had no idea, no clue, or no situation when my dad committed suicide. So I think that's the hardest bit, that, you know, when you're in that situation, please speak out, pick up the phone to whoever you think, and get help.
But I mean, Charlie, listen, that was unbelievably put, and I think it will genuinely help people listening. So we really appreciate your time, and all the best with the job when it starts back again tomorrow. I'm sure you'll be on the training ground nice and early, so thanks for taking your time.
Thank you
very much, Charlie Adam. That was incredible stuff to hear, and seriously, if you think it can be of any use, feel free to get in touch, and maybe we can even just help pass you on in the right direction. So I think it's appropriate to pause for breath, but you can call us right now and we'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final parts of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. I was going to say, hope you enjoyed. That's definitely the wrong word, but hopefully you found that last section useful with Charlie Adam. Really, you know, quite touching, inspirational stuff opening up about his dad taking his own life back in 2012, and how Charlie speaks out regularly to try and make people aware, and it is World Mental Health Day, hence the reason that we thought we would get Charlie on, catch up with him, and get an important message out there. So hopefully, again, like I say, even if it helps one of you listening, I guess that would be job done. And I know lots of you are always kind of contacting me privately to sort of say that the show can often point you in the right direction in different ways. So anyway, how are you two faring on your full-time teaser tonight? We are looking for the last six players, is it, who have scored against Scotland and have played in the English Premier League. Cristiano Ronaldo, Shaqiri did it at the Euros, unfortunately.
Can we go back to the Euros first game? The lad that played with Liverpool.
You got Havertz as well.
Yeah, Havertz, yeah.
The lad that played with Liverpool, middle of park for Germany. Is it Can?
Can, aye.
Can.
Did he score?
I think so, yeah.
One of the final ones.
Brilliant.
Yeah. What do you think? Is it? Do you think the fact that he just said can just makes you think that somebody's texting him, so he's read it?
C-A-N. Had a lot of quiet time there.
You can look at you can freely look at my text.
I would not touch your phone if you paid me.
Anybody could look at my text.
Since when?
The new phone cover that you got a year ago is looking a bit scabby.
Yeah, I need a new one.
He was asking me how to do that, you know, thing you can do on your iPhone now, the private browsing. He was asking me how to do that.
Oh, that's a recipe for disaster. What are you private browsing?
He's telling lies. I don't do private browsing.
What time's Wonder Bar open to?
It was great to hear though from Charlie Adam, you know, under difficult circumstances. Mark, how much of an emphasis is there on, because you're obviously at Partick Thistle under 18s now currently, how much of an emphasis now, how much has that role changed, do you think, from say what your under 18s coach was in terms of identifying mental health issues and trying to help players with it?
Well, the landscape's shifted massively. So I touched on it there with Charlie, and I'm not having a go at any my coaches because they were wonderful football coaches.
A different time.
But it was a different time. If you were down, if you were underperforming, there was no other reason to, your performance wasn't good enough and you better get it up or else you are out. So it's much different now. There's a lot more that goes into coaching, and so there should, and Charlie touching it there with his experience. His dress room, he has to monitor how players are as people, not just players. And I think that's the way it should be. And it's the same at under 18 level or any other level. You have to recognise the signs when someone's not right, and Charlie's in a good position that he's able to do it. I touched on a good point there. When you take players away from the group and actually have a one-on-one with them and get into that kind of human level, forget about football, they tend to open up better. And like Charlie says there, if you share your problems, you could be on your way to not solving them, but just making it easier and understanding that you're not alone in those situations. And that's about the important thing you highlight on a day like today. And I didn't know that about Charlie. It must be incredibly difficult to come on and speak about it. But I think when people see an elite footballer at the forefront and playing in all the glitz and glamour of the Premier League, but understanding that they have real life struggles like he did as well, helps to think that, well, we can share our opinions as well. So incredibly important. He puts it across great. He's a great speaker, Charlie.
Well, that's it. I think that's the whole point, isn't it? If the whole idea is that talking's the first step, and that's the hard bit for some people, if you can see a guy that's played in the English Premier League and played for Liverpool and scored playoff goals and played for Scotland and played for massive clubs up here, openly doing it, then maybe gives people a helping hand.
People are so guarded about their own lifestyles, and even when, you know, that pressure comes on top of them or certain trauma comes into their life, they think they need to hold it all back. And I'm probably certain Charlie might have went through a period like that as well. He can't disclose anything, but he actually says there he had good people around about him that he could share. And again, he was dealt another blow within that when Tony Pulis said to him that this isn't working out, so that's your job, your livelihood on the line as well. But the main message was surrounding your people, yourself with good people that you can share and they can guide you through hard situations. Charlie got through it, even though on a good wage, with all that, as I say, glitz and glamour around him, he was still finding it difficult, but he got through with the help of others.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, if you think phoning this number's a starting point and you want us to try and point you in the right direction, which is obviously all we'd really do, and certainly not pretending to be experts on the subject, but yeah, again, please do feel free. A quick look at Gordon. I was going to say some of the other stories doing the rounds today in Scottish football, not loads. An interesting one from your local team. Yeah. Did you see Motherwell have handed a seriously long-term deal to Aston Oxborough? It's a great story. I wonder if everyone's under Lennon Miller's shadow a bit at Motherwell. Yeah. He's grabbing the headlines and rightly so. But you know, Aston Oxborough, he's not a new signing. People think he is, but Liam Kelly played every single game for years for Motherwell. Oxborough got one League Cup game. In the group stages, I think at Queen of the South, beginning of last season, Liam Kelly played every other game. He leaves for Rangers, and all of a sudden, you've got this guy who comes in and has been excellent since the start of the season.
Rightly so, being rewarded with a new contract, Gordon. Because if you're playing second fiddle to Liam Kelly, your contract would not be that great. It wouldn't be one of the top ones at Motherwell. He's come in, he's proved himself. I think that the manager must be over the moon what his performances have been like. And I think that goes to the fact that where Motherwell are sitting in the league and the form they're in. He was patient. It's very easy to get anxious and think, I've never got to get an opportunity. I want to go somewhere else. You heard Mark talking about earlier that he was even contemplating going out on loan, but all of a sudden things change for you. And football is like that. You've just got to wait for your moment. Things do change very quickly in the game, but he had to be patient because of the, you know, the form of Kelly and playing every single game. But when he's got his opportunity, when it's came to him, he's grabbed it, as we say, as a goalkeeper with both hands. I'm delighted Motherwell have rewarded this lad. He's been brilliant.
I think you're allowed to refer to non-goalkeepers as grabbing opportunities with both hands as well, but it does. It means more, doesn't it?
Yeah, with both gloves.
Well, Mark, it's no coincidence.
Two big Syndico gloves.
Motherwell are flying in the, in the league, and I genuinely feel like he's made at least one big save in every one of those games. Yeah. The feet, Chris Cadden was clean through and goal at the weekend. Motherwell gone to win. I can't actually remember the exact one. I think there's probably, it only feels like one goal maybe that he might be disappointed in. But more importantly, like I say, at least one big save in every game, and sometimes multiple. The one from Killian Phillips against St Mirren.
Unbelievable save. He's been outstanding this season, and, you know, big gloves to fill with Liam Kelly. And it's funny how football works, you know. Everybody thinks Liam Kelly onwards and upwards and he'll be delighted. But in terms of happiness, what we were just chatting about and touching on, Oxford will be delighted. He's in every week. He's got his new contract. He's looking up. And it's a hard position. It was a hard position to fill for Motherwell. Just goes to show you don't need to look externally. Sometimes a player's right there on your bench, and well done to him.
Okay, we are looking for the last six players to score against Scotland that have played in the English Premier League. You're doing pretty well. Ronaldo, Shaqiri, Havertz and Emre Can. Two to get.
He's done the face, so he must have them.
I've not got them. The only one I can think of, Portugal again.
Yeah.
Bruno Fernandes.
Absolutely, well done.
That's the only one. The only one you can think of.
I can't get anybody else.
Unfortunately.
How far back are we going?
Munich.
Munich again.
Munich again, Germany.
Hungary. No,
Germany. It's a trickier one, though.
Germany. They come off the bench.
So it wasn't the.
Come off the bench.
No, didn't he score the fifth, did he? No, because
that was West Ham. Remember?
I've no idea, mate. Couldn't tell you.
Nicholas Fulkrug. Remember the big striker?
Alright,
thank you very much to Gordon DL, Mark Wilson. It is the final build up day for Scotland tomorrow ahead of the Croatia game. Hugh Keevans will be in the studio with Scott Allen. Lots of you tell me you like that Friday night combo, so
good.
Who am I to stop you? They will be here at 6. Enjoy the rest of your night.